Hello, my name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Kaf Aleph, the Book of Iyov, Chapter 21. To recap, in Chapter 20, Tzofar responded very sharply to Iyov's laments and felt compelled to answer Iyov's insulting remarks. Tzofar, like the friends Eliphaz and Bildad before him, ramped up the criticisms to a fever pitch. Tzofar was very creative and detailed in his descriptions of the recompense of the wicked. Tzofar clearly stated that the extreme punishments of Iyov prove that he committed severe crimes. Iyov, according to Tzofar, deceived the poor and the needy, and his sufferings are God's clear answer to his wickedness. Furthermore, we analyzed the different views of the four friends according to Rambam, Maimonides, in the Guide to the Perplexed. In Maimonides' view, the Rambam's view, Eliphaz's main point is that Iyov deserved his punishment because of sin. That's Eliphaz's view. Bildad's addition to the main argument is that gemul, recompense, the more you suffer, if you don't deserve all of it because of sin, you will be paid back gloriously in the end of your life. That is the argument of gemul, recompense. So if you don't deserve the suffering that you receive, you will be paid back in the end of your life. Tzofar's contribution to the discussion, beyond the earlier general statements, is that God does not have to have reasons for what he does. So these are the ideas of the three friends according to the Rambam. Elihu, who will be the last speaker that we will meet, teaches according to Rambam that true wisdom and knowledge is attained only when man realizes and acknowledges that God's knowledge is very different from ours, and providence and God's actions are not like man's at all, totally different level, something we can't comprehend. Once man knows this, that he cannot fathom God, humans can love God without the worry of the philosophical dilemma of divine providence, God's justice. Man has no way to assess that, says Maimonides. That was the ultimate lesson that Iyov had to learn, that man cannot fathom and understand God. Furthermore, we discussed Rambam's view of the transformation of Iyov for one who fears God, Yirei Elokim, to one who loves God, Ohev Elokim, which is a higher level. Fear of God is a very important level, and then, of course, fear and love God is the highest level. In this class, we will learn together Iyov's response to Tzofar's caustic accusations. Iyov very strongly rebuffs Tzofar's accusatory words that he is suffering because he sinned. Iyov will develop the idea in this chapter that the evil flourish and prosper and the good people suffer. The ones who curse God uninhibitedly live the charmed life that the righteous should be living. Only the minority of the wicked suffer, says Iyov. And Iyov continues, children who suffer because of the parents is a false and empty gesture. Not only because the children shouldn't suffer for the sins of the parents, which is not fair. Furthermore, Iyov says, evil parents don't care when their kids are suffering. So it's not a good punishment at all. And to answer the accusation that God runs the world with justice and measure for measure, mida keneged mida, that's not true either, because all are equal in death, says Eov. If you look at the world and gather anecdotal information, the stories convey the message that the unethical and unjust are feared during their lives, treated royally in their dealings, in life and death. This chapter is also a serious rebuke of the friend's supposed consolation. We will focus on the opening and closing verses of the chapter. Verse 1, Vaya'an Iyov Vayomar, and Iyov responded and said, Shamoa milati, utihi zot tanchumotechem. Listen carefully to my word, and let this be your consolation. Rashi explains, you are not really consoling me. At least, if you would listen to my words, that would be somewhat of a consolation. We are speaking at each other, but not to each other. Listening is part of the nechama process, of the comforting process. This is a very insightful comment by Rashi. Eov feels that he needs to be heard by the friends and that his opinions matter. Verse 3. Sa'uni ve'anochi adaber ve'achar dabri talig. Bear with me and I will speak. And after, you can mock me. Ralbag emphasizes the concept of bearing, putting up with the words that he speaks. Eov wants the friends to give value to and internalize his words and not be angry with him. Verse 4. He'anochi la'adam sichi v'im madua lo tikza ruchi. Am I speaking to man? So why shouldn't I be impatient? Rashi explains, I'm not directing my complaints to man, but to God. Which means Eov is saying, I'm arguing, but I see that the people are not on the level to answer me. I'm really, really looking to God, and that's why I'm so frustrated, because I really want God to answer. I'm speaking to you, but really to God. I am crying out to get answers. I am crying out from suffering and hope that God will listen to my voice. Mitzudat David adds, I am speaking to God and he is not answering me. How can I not cry out in bitterness that I am not being answered? Mitzudat David adds this level of frustration in this pasuk, that I'm crying out and because I'm not being answered, I'm becoming bitter, because the more I cry out and I'm not being answered, I'm just getting deeper and deeper and deeper in my bitterness. Verse 5. Penu elai v'simu yad al peh. Turn to me and be so astonished that you will have to put your hand on your mouth. Rashi explains, Eov is imploring the friends to listen to him. Again, we see this theme over and over in this perek and in many of the other prakim, listening, listening. Rashi is saying, if you listen to my words, you will be so shocked that you won't know how to answer me, because you won't know what to answer. And that's what I'm seeing now. I'm speaking out and I want good answers, and you are not giving me good answers, and God is not answering me. As opposed to now, you are answering me all the time, arguing God's position for him, but you're really not listening to me, and that's why you're not answering me correctly. Because if you would listen to me, maybe you would give me the right answers. And again, this is also directed towards God. Ramban Nachmanides diverges in his explanation of the thrust of this verse. He explains, be astonished by my words, because even I am astonished and cannot fully comprehend the nature of my sufferings. Ramban is pointing to the fact, not that the friends are not listening, and that's why he's not getting good answers. Even Eov himself is in such a state of confusion and of bitterness and of anger and anguish that he doesn't even understand what he's feeling because he's all over the place. He is just so crushed by what's going on. Eov ends this response to Tzofar with the unfairness of the world. In verse 34, Ve'ech tenachamuni havel uteshuvotechem nishara ma'al. Now, how can you comfort me with futility? And the only thing remaining of your replies is betrayal. Rashi emphasizes that their answers represent betrayal and a lack of wisdom. So they are hevel, nothingness, and ma'al, betrayal. Throughout this chapter, and especially in the beginning and the end, Rashi emphasizes the loneliness, alienation, and betrayal that Eov feels. Rashi emphasizes the feelings of being ignored, betrayed, feeling isolated from man and God. And Ramban emphasized the inner turmoil that Eov is feeling, that his feelings are all over the place and he can't really articulate them as well. The friends who came to console are exacerbating his grief and suffering instead of alleviating it. And Eov is powerless to change their view that his suffering is punishment for sin. He believes that he is righteous, and he did not sin enough to get this terrible punishment. We end the second set of dialogue cycles with the searing description in Eov's own words of his overwhelming loneliness. There's nothing worse than suffering alone. To sum up, Eov very strongly rebuffs Tzofar's accusatory words that he is suffering because he sinned. Eov states that the evil flourish and prosper, and the good people suffer. The ones who curse God uninhibitedly, they live the charmed life that the righteous should be living. Only the minority of the wicked suffer, and the children who suffer because of the parents, false and empty. Not only because the children shouldn't suffer for the sin of the parents. Of course, children should not suffer for the sins of the parents, says Eov. But the evil parents don't even care that their kids are suffering. So it's not even a good punishment. And to answer Tzofar's accusation that God runs the world with justice and measure for measure, midah keneged midah, that's not true, says Eov, because all are equal in death. If you look at the world and gather anecdotal information, the stories convey the message that the unethical and unjust are feared during their lives and treated royally in their dealings and are treated royally in their death. This chapter was also a searing cry of loneliness and isolation from the friends and even God. Next class, we will start the third cycle of the dialogues, commencing with Eliphaz's response. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.